The first reading is taken from Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs on my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love you, love your salvation always, say, the Lord be exalted. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay. Amen.
James chapter 1. I thought we would just have a dip into this book this morning and consider the good news that it carries, that God is good and he is with us in all times. James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossom falls and the beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, to when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father like heaven of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose us to give birth through the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever intently looks into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious yet do not keep a rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that our God the Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and the widows in their distress, and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I'm sure you've seen the books around that are for dummies. Computers for dummies. French for dummies. Well, they're about my level, I think, when it comes to books. And James is almost a book of Christianity for dummies, because it goes right to the very core of what the Christian life is all about. And in these words, he says, consider it pure joy when you face trials. Not if, but when. And he's saying here that we will face trials, temptations, personal ones, social ones, and the eternal consequences of these trials. We will face difficulties, not if, but when. But here is the good news. This passage also says that God is with you in it. God is with you in it. You know, what defeats us as Christians in our walk with God is often the thought that God is somehow distant and uninvolved in our lives. That God doesn't see what we do or even care what we do. This is called a deist approach. And it can be summed up in an old piece of graffiti which says, God is alive and well and working on a less ambitious project. That God exists but is too far remote and different to be known for him to care for us or for us to have a relationship with him. This passage is a denial of deism. Good gifts come from God because he loves us and he cares for us and he thinks we're wonderful. With a deist approach, our prayers become formal and general instead of intimate and specific. Ultimately leads us to failing to follow closely to the Lord's calling on our lives, giving in to temptation, not persevering under trial, losing our faith. Instead, we need to know God's intimate closeness and provision and his care for us just to survive as Christians. Why James reminds us that God's goodness to us when he tells us about persevering under trial. He says, you want to stand firm as a Christian? Then remember God's goodness to you. And that goodness results in praise and worship in all that we do. So what does this passage say? First of all, it says that God only gives good gifts. God gives good gifts. And James reminds us that when God gives gifts, it's good gifts. Every good thing in this life is from God, and that's his nature. His nature is that he created the earth. He looked at it and he said, "This is good." And he gives good gifts to his children. It's a reminder, if you like, that God gives good gifts and Satan spoils. God creates, Satan spoils. So God gives love, Satan gives pornography, he gives adultery, he gives a twisted version of love. Friendship is God. Enmity is Satan's attempt to twist and destroy friendship. And sometimes it's hard to recognize God's gifts as good. Paul talked about a thorn in his flesh. Now the word, Greek word sklopos, which is best translated as stake, a stake in the side, not a wooden stake, not a lovely, generous, gorgeous ribeye steak cooked on a, anyway, that's enough of that. He's talking about a stake in the side, a big wooden stake. Not just a rose thorn, but this wooden stake, which was the pain it gave him. And the emphasis in the word pain that it gave him is not the size of the thorn. It may seem horrific to us, but Paul eventually realized that this thorn, this stake, this thing that kept him back was the means of recognizing God's grace. Listen to these words from 2 Corinthians 12. Three times I pleaded with God, the Lord, to take it away from me, this stake, this thorn. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, Paul says, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I am delighting in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." What amazing words. He takes our weaknesses and turns them into strengths. That's what our God is like. And when things happen to us and those around us, I believe that we need to discover the source of what these things are that come from God. Is this a gift from God, this difficulty I'm going through at the moment, this hardship? Is it a gift from God or a trial to bring us closer to God? Or is it an attempt by Satan to undermine our faith and rob us of the joy of our salvation? We find out by prayer. Lord, is this from you? Simple prayer. Lord, is this from you? If it's from you, then give me the grace to accept it and learn from it. Or is it from my own weakness, the sinfulness of the world, or even Satan? If the Lord has given me the faith to fight back and overcome. Three times Paul said, please let it be taken away. Eventually, he realized this was from God. And Paul learned the grace from God was sufficient in times of pain. God gives good gifts. Even if sometimes there seem to be painful trials, the motive is to make us more like Jesus. So if we have difficulties, if we face hardships, if we face pain, God is saying sometimes, this is to make you more like my son. And then secondly, the thing is the way our God gives is a generous God. You know, I remember once getting a Christmas present. And I was very excited to open it. As I was opening it, the person who gave it to me said, it wasn't Ruth, by the way, said to me, this was a very expensive present, you know. It cost me a lot of money. And immediately I felt guilty. And I felt this was awful. And the whole thing was spoiled by the person saying, it's expensive, you know. I spent more than you, than anyone else. I saved for months for it. Felt so guilty, I wanted to reimburse them. Get my wallet out of my pocket and say, oh, well, let me give you the money back. Have you ever received a gift or a present in such a way that you feel guilty about receiving it. It's possible to diminish the gift in the manner it was given. With God, He is always giving in a generous and gracious manner. He's trying to give good things. God is always trying to give good things to us, but our hands are too full to receive them. That was what St. Augustine said. Full because we try and hold on to the things of the world, the things that the world gives us, and God says, I want you to have a blessing from me. All that God demands from us is a thankful attitude, not a list from us each day saying thanks for everything, but a thankful heart giving God glory. And then we read that He gives constantly. God never changes. A gift coming down from heaven above, present continuous, meaning that God is always giving, like a tap turned on that doesn't turn off, or like a stream never ceasing. I remember going camping once, and I thought, it would be great to camp next door to a stream. It wasn't. About 2 o'clock in the morning, after I'd gone to the loo for the third time, I thought to myself, can I just turn off the stream? But it never stops. Now, in a positive way, not a negative way, in a positive way, God blesses us every moment of every day, every breath we have, the food we have, the warmth, the love, the money, the friends, all things from God. The air we breathe is a constant, so is God's blessing. Lamentations chapter 3 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to the Lord, to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. We cannot outgive God because He has given so much. We can try, possibly, we probably should try, but it is impossible. Just rejoice that God gives good things constantly. And then we come to God doesn't change. Doesn't change like shifting shadows, says James. Shadows can be frightening things, can't they? If you wake up in the middle of the night and you see your dressing gown in the wrong place, it can give you a bit of a fright. Shadows can be frightening things. If you walk around the house at night with the lights off, and an unexpected shadow can make you jump. In Bible times, shadows were dangerous places, as predators lurked there, both human and animal. So everybody was cautious of the shadows, because they could hide dangers, both real and imagined. With God, this is not the case. We have nothing to fear. He is constant and consistent, always true to His character. In the Old Testament and New Testament, the gods that others worshipped were capricious. Sometimes they had good moods, sometimes they were in bad moods. And the gods, little g, sometimes were thought to bless, at other times curse, simply depending on what mood they were in. And if you read any mythology, like Norse mythology or Greek mythology, you'll see that the gods there are in the same way. Have bad moods and good moods. And this can be, but you cannot catch God on a bad day. God doesn't have bad days. God, our Father in heaven, is constant and consistent, a source of strength to us. In the Bible, we read the importance of remembering God's goodness, His character, His giving. Remember Him in His goodness to us. God's goodness to us. Remember when Moses says, I delivered you. Joshua, he says, as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. And with the prophets, he says, I am the Lord who is with you and never changes. When we take communion, we remember that Christ died for us and rose again. We need to be a people of thanks, acknowledging God for His giving, because it strengthens our faith. Reminds us that when we have been, how God has provided. Prayers of thanksgiving remind us that we are people who give thanks to God. So in conclusion, I simply want to say, for your encouragement, go further and deeper with God. That can be scary. But God is with us and he wants us to grow. Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters. Paul says in Romans, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Let's pray together. We thank you this morning, Father, that you are a giving God and you give without holding back. And Lord, in those times when we face trials and difficulties, may we remember your giving and your goodness. And may we be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, that in strength is in weakness. And therefore I will boast all more of my weaknesses in order that God's strength may be shown. Lord, hear us in this prayer, we pray, for we offer it in Jesus' name. Amen.